Mr. Hever, welcome back.
Welcome. The first time, as the case may be. We're learning really a fantastic Masechta, a great Perek. And Amir Tzshem, it should be something that's, that inspires us not only in terms of fulfilling the halacha, but really to be better Jews, as we'll discuss this morning. Typically, the hallmark of a person who knows how to learn versus someone who doesn't know how to learn. You know, sometimes they say, well, this guy knows how to learn. I remember my first semester when I was registering for YU in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Chalap, if you know who that is, he should live and be well. So he said to me when I was registering, I don't know why he did the Bible registration, but he said, this Bible teacher, who's now a Rebbe, but at the time he was a Bible teacher, so he said, he's a real Lamdin. I was thinking, why does he have to be a real Lamdin to be a Bible, not to take anything away from the Bible teachers, but I didn't think of Lamdonis really having to do with the Bible. But what do we mean when we say a person is a Lamdin, a person knows how to learn? So if Salvechik used to explain with a mashal of a person who's in a room together with an elephant and a fly. So he says, the person who doesn't know how to learn, he chases the fly. A person who does know how to learn, so he's interested in the elephant. I think what he meant by that was, and he went on to explain what he meant, but what he meant by that was that when a person learns a sugya, so there's many different things that one can focus on. Now, it's they're all presented in the back of Masifta or some other kitza sefer, which are wonderful tools. All the different questions that the Mefarshim address in a sugya. And they're all important. Right? A fly can be really, really bothersome, and one could spend his whole life chasing flies. But a person who knows how to learn understands amongst all those topics that might be addressed in the back of a Masifta or in some sort of Kitzur Sefer, how to weed out what's an elephant, meaning what really goes to the heart of what's being discussed and what is just, a nuisance, which, are significant sometimes. And sometimes what one thinks is a nuisance, a person has an aching pain, turns out to be a real problem. So sometimes, it's not so easy to tell the difference. The person who knows how to learn is able to discern the elephants from the flies. And I try to focus, mainly, sometimes we get, caught up in flies, but I try mainly to stay focused on the elephant in the room, the things that are central to the sugya. Rarely do we kind of, focus on things that I think are a little bit more tangential. And the point is to kind of train ourselves to focus on those larger issues, not to ignore the flies, because sometimes the flies are really important. Kind of to be able to tell the difference between them is the difference between knowing how to learn, and not knowing how to learn. So rarely do we begin a sugya, kind of focusing on sometimes the structure and ordering of things is really important. That's the indication of an elephant. But sometimes it's really tangential. At the beginning of a Masechta, the Rishonim seem to focus on things that otherwise they would not focus on. If you've started a number of a lot of people start Masechtas and don't finish them, but we've Baruch Hashem in our history probably started a number of Masechtas. You'll notice a trend that at the beginning of the Masechta, a number of Masechtas come to mind. The Rishonim, Tosfos, even the Gemara sometimes seems to focus on things that later on in another parak, in Parak Shvi, we wouldn't spend our time thinking about. But right at the beginning of Baba Basra is another example of that, where Tosfos says, why does Baba Basra come after Baba Metzia? We rarely, I'm sure in this, the seventh parak over here, we're not going to ask why does the seventh parak come after the sixth parak and spend a long time discussing it. And even if we would, it would probably be something we'd classify as tangential, not something as central. But I believe over here, not only is it the first Tosfos, since Kedai to focus on the first Tosfos, but I think that it does address something that's really central, if not to halachos of Shutfin, but to our relationships with others in general, and really all of what the Seder Nezikin is all about. So Tosfos begins with the question of perhaps what all of learning is all about. But Tosfos begins with the question, why does Baba Basra come after Baba Metzia? And he starts off, though, kind of preempting the question by saying, well, Kula Nezikin Chada Mesechtahi, which is an excuse to ask the question, meaning who's to say that there's an order in the Gemara at all? Rav Shechter likes to reflect that the Gemara seems to be somewhat, it's haphazard in its discussions. It's balul, something kama bavli is a takeoff or you know, rooted in the word balul, which means confused, because you have agadata mixed up with different halachas. Sometimes there's halacha in one mesechta that really relates to another mesechta that's entirely out of place. That's why Rav Shechter likes to say you have to know all of Shas in order to pass the shaila, because it might be halacha that's related to somewhere else that you don't know about. And the Rambam came really and organized it, in terms of categories and, you know, and themes. Who's to say really that there's any order over here at all? Certainly in the sugyas within one parak, it's kind of sometimes hard to figure out what the stream of consciousness is. Taisus over here is wondering why is it that Baba Basra comes immediately after Baba Mitzia, and he prefaces the question by saying, Kula Nezikin Chad Mesechtahi. All of Nezikin is one Mesechta, and within one Mesechta, we have the right to assume that there should be a sequential nature to our discussion. One thing should follow from the previous discussion. And since it's all one mesechta, the assumption being that if it would be two mesechtas, then we wouldn't necessarily have the ability to ask such a question. And he says, but here, all of Nezikin is one mesechta, and therefore we have the right to ask that question. But then he says, even if you're going to say it's not one mesechta, maybe, you know, Baba Basra and Baba Metzia are two separate mesechtas. So, Chafarish, Lama Nishnes mesechta zu acha Baba Metzia. We still have to ask, why is it that the halacha of shutfim, of neighbors, comes immediately after Baba Metzia? Because even from one mesechta to the next, there is somewhat, you know, of a thematic relationship between topics. Kedashkan didiak Gemara Vareish mesechta Shavuos, because Gemara asked such a question at the beginning of Shavuos, michti hu mimakas salik ma'ishna de katani Shavuos. Why is it, the Gemara asks at the beginning of Mesechta Shavuos, why is it that Shavuos follows Mesechta's Makas? And the Gemara answers, because Makas concludes with a discussion of Makif and Ikaf, about a person who cuts off the Peos HaRosh, or destroys the Peos HaZakon, which is, you know, one pasuk in the Torah, two pasukim in the Torah, but it ends up being many, many prohibitions of the different parts, you know, on either side, and the beard has the five corners, and then it's not only the person who cuts, it's the person who does the cutting, it's the person who is the makif, and the nikaf, the person who gets his hair cut. So from these, you know, so limited number of psukim, we derive many prohibitions. So it starts off with Shnayim Shein Arba, Mesechta Shavuos also begins, Shavuos Ha'idus Shnayim Shein Arba. So it also kind of, you know, it's a few psukim that multiplies into many dinim. So because of that thematic or numerical connection, that's why Shavuos follows Mesechta Makas. But you see that the Gemara asked such a question. What was bothered? Why is it that Mesechta Shavuos follows Mesechta Makas? And therefore, Taisus claims, even though those are clearly two Mesechtas, Taisus implies, we still have the right to ask, why is it that one thing follows, why is it that one thing follows the other? So even if it's not one Mesechta, even if it's two Mesechtas, we have the right to ask this question. So Taisus asks a similar question here. Ma'asha l'katan Yishuos v'chein b'kama makoimus. So then he says, but 1 minute, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that in two Mesechtas there is no order. V'hada amar b'trei Mesechtas ain seder l'mishnah. But we said in two Mesechtas there isn't necessarily an order. Within one Mesechta, yes. Within two Mesechtas, not necessarily. So I thought you said in two Mesechtas there isn't an order. So why did the Gemara ask, why is it that Shavuos follows Mesechtas Makas? So he says that there's only with regards to a limited, halakha, of determining when you have, you know, how the halacha is resolved when you have a machlekes hatanoim. Because sometimes you have a machlekes tanoim, it appears in the Mishnah as a machlekes, but then you have a stam Mishnah which kind of assumes like one of the opinions. Now, if you assume, you know, the operating assumption is like one of the opinions, the tacit, implication of that is that we paskin, we conclude like that opinion that became, you know, kind of the general assumption, right? If we have a machlekes over here, and then later on we just ignore the machlekes and we assume like one of the opinions, well then the machlekes has obviously been resolved like that, you know, prevailing assumption. So if I have a machlekes, and then later on assume, you know, assumption like one, you know, machlekes v'achach stam, we can assume we pass like the stam. We pass like that opinion. If you have a stam, and then achach machlekes, you can't necessarily imply, you know, infer anything, because maybe we assumed one way, and then we had a machlekes tanoim and said, no, wait, it's not so pashut. You could really view it from two different directions. And then we don't have a resolution. So if you have a stam and the achar kach machlekes, we can't really infer anything. If you have a machlekes, we achar kach stam, so we can infer that we pass like the stam. So ordering here is critical. Is, you know, can we assume that there's a progression here? And if we have a machlekes, we achar kach stam, we pass like the stam opinion, or can we assume, or do we have no right to make such an assumption? Because maybe, you know, it's really a stam v'achach machlekes, and there's just no, order necessarily to the topics as they come up. So that is what the Gemara meant, only in that technical limited sense, that within one mesechta there is an order, And if you have a machlekes, and then later on the Stam Mishnah, we could assume we pass on the Stam Mishnah. But from one Mesechta to the next, not necessarily. Just because in Mesechta's Brochus, it's a machlokes, in Mesechta's Zvachim, the same issue comes up, you can't necessarily assume, well, Zvachim is after Brochus, must be we paskin like that opinion of the Stam Mishnah because it appears in Zvachim, which is after Brochus. No. That you can, or even Brochus to Shabbos. You can't necessarily make such an assumption, even within the same Seder, from Shabbos to Erevin. We can't make such an assumption. Within the same Masechta, then, yes, Stam, Viachach, Machlekes, doesn't imply that we pass in one way. Machlekes, Viachach, Stam, that doesn't imply we pass in one way. So Taisus claims, though, that that's the only area where we would say, that the ordering isn't necessarily consistent beyond one Masechta, from one Masechta to the next. With regards to Stam, Viachach, Machlekes, Machlekes, Viachach, Stam. But in terms of the big adol, right, the bigger thematic issues, not the technicalities of machlekes v'achach stam, stam v'achach machlekes. But in terms of why does this topic follow that topic, even from one mesechta to the next, there's an assumption that there's an order here and a progression, and it's not just stream of consciousness. So Taisus says that's the implication of the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara asked in Shavuos, why is it that Shavuos follows Makkos? What are you talking about? In two mesechtas, everyone agrees that there's no, you can't necessarily infer anything from the ordering of the discussion, to versus vis-a-vis Stam V'Yakach Machlekes. Taisus says that's only with regards to Stam V'Yakach Machlekes, or Machlekes V'Yakach Stam, but in terms of in general, there must be some rhyme or reason. It's not entirely random why one topic, follows the next. So therefore, Taisus writes over here, V'hada Amar betray mesechta ein seder v'mishnah, hainu eini Machlekes V'Yakach Stam. Mishum de Rebbe lo shana tamid of keseder hamesechta. So pam shana upamim shana hafreina kaid marishana. Sometimes he taught it out of order, so you can't necessarily infer anything with regards to machlokas v'achach stam stam v'achach machlokas. But with regards to the general themes and topics, there is a reason why one thing follows the next. Let me read the haynu tamim mishum de kai ahach. So then we're back, with our basic question. Why is it that Bobasa follows Bob Metzia? Meaning, we're not talking about technicalities of Stam V'Yachach Machlekes. We're talking about why does this topic of Shutvin follow Bob Metzia? So Taisus now gets, to his answer. Read the Hanutama Mishum Dekai Ahach Pirka Dewe'el Habayis V'Aliyah. Bob Metzia concludes with a discussion of two neighbors in a two-family home, one in a second floor, one in a first floor, Shabez Shenoflu, and the house falls down. Chokin be'etzim, what happens to the boards, what happens to the rubble, who gets the residual resources, v'kari luhas, and the Gemara is shutfim. The Gemara calls them that shutfim. Now, shutfim really means partners. They're not partners, they're neighbors. But they are partners in the two-family home, so to speak. So, in that sense, they're kind of like partners. V'katani nami beis gino zu agav zu, or you have two gardens, one on top of the other, v'yerek beintayim, and produce between them to have the Indian shutfis. That's kind of like a shutfis. So since that was the last discussion about Metzia, that's why we picked up with that in Bava Basra. So that thematic issue, the connection between Habayis V'Aliyah and the shutfim over here, it doesn't really interest me. I think, just getting back to where we began, I think that's kind of a fly. Very important, very interesting. What I do think is fascinating, though, is this topic, or the notion, that Kula Nezik and Chada Mesechta. Taisus began that even if there's no thematic connection at all from one Masechta to the next. Within one Masechta, right, there has to be a reason. Even vis-a-vis Stam V'Yachach Machlekes, that technicality of why is one Mishnah before the other, even there we can make inferences. Certainly with regards to the topics and the themes in general, there is a reason that one follows the other within the same Masechta. And Taisus began, well, maybe all of Nezikin is one Masechta, as opposed to other mesechtas that are not related, as opposed to other sedarim which are not related. What do we mean over here when we say kula nezikin chada mesechta, and why is it that kula nezikin chada mesechta sounds like as opposed to to other areas of shas? So first of all, what are we referring to when we say kula nezikin? What does Taisus mean when he says kula nezikin chada mesechta? So it sounds like to me from Taisus, I think you have to say this way, that it's only talking about Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra. How do I know? Because Taisus then says, no, even in two Masechtas is a connection, as you see from Shavuos to Makkos, where the Gemara asks, why is it that Shavuos follows Makkos? Now, Shavuos and Makkos are also in Seder Nezikin. So if Taisus meant all of Seder Nezikin is Chada Masechtahi, well then, why did he have, then he already is included in his first statement. Taisus says, Kula Nezikin Chada Masechtahi, therefore I have the right to ask, in terms of the order of things. And even if you'll say it's not one Masechta, From Masechta to Masechta, there is still an order. Well, and then, how do you know? From Shavuos to Makkos. That implies Shavuos to Makkos was not included in his first statement. That, you know, Nezikin, Kuh Nezikin, Chad Masechta, right? Yeah, I think that's obvious. So Taisus here seems to assume that Kuh Nezikin, Chad Masechta, when the Gemara has that notion, in terms of Stam Yakach Machlekes, Vyav Machlekes Yakach Stam, that even though from one Masechta to the next, we can't necessarily infer anything from the fact that one Braisa follows another Braisa, within the same Masechta you can, and the Gemara says, Kuh Nezikin, Chad Masechta, with regards to Stam Yakach Machlekes, that's only talking about Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. And that's how Rashi writes Masechta Sevei Dezer. Look over here, Oisala, from the Sheet of Mar Mekoymus, but the Gemara actually has this statement. The Tosfos is quoted, it's in Bava Kama, Kuf Beis, it's also in Avodah Zarah Daf Zayin, that Kuh Nezikin Chad Masechta Hi, and therefore if you have one Braisa that follows another Braisa, Machlai, because Yachar Stam, you can assume we pass on like the Stam Mishnah. Rashi there says, Nezikin Kuhu Tlosa Bavi. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra are all the same Masechta. As opposed to the other Masechta in Seder Nezikin. I think that Taisus Yontif applies like that too, based on his understanding of a Rambam in the Parish of Mishnayos. Look over here, Ois Gimel, Taisus Yontif is introducing Bava Kama. It says, Bava Kama mi Masechtas Nezikin, Masechta Rishayna mi Zeh HaSeder Kara Nezikin. The first Masechta of this Seder is called Nezikin, V'Koyleles Gimel Chalokim, V'Nekron Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basa. So Taisus Yontif writes, I think in the name of the Rambam, that these three Masechtas are called Nezikin, because Bava Kama begins with Arba Ovois Nezikin. And it's split up into three parts. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. Just like we find in Masechtas Kelim. If you ever were in Kelim, it's 30 Prakim. There's three parts. There's Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. So in Masechtas Kelim. So just like we find Masechtas Kelim, Shabbat Hesefta, Chaluka, Gamkein, Lesholosh, Bavos. And the Rambam, he quotes over here, the Rambam, Zeloshon and Rambam, Chelok HaMasechta, HaRishon, Lashosh HaChalakim, V'Hiska, Bava Kama, V'Nyonu, Ledaber, Nezikin. Why do we begin by discussing Nezikin? Because if you're harming people, if you're hurting them, you know, everything else kind of goes out the window. There's no real point of discussing the laws of neighbors, the laws of Kinyanim, above Metzia, when if you're just going to shoot the guy or hit the guy and walk away. So it must be that we have to lay the ground rules that you can't hit other people first, then we can discuss, you know, everything else after. Or if you're hitting a guy, really kind of almost doesn't matter, everything else. So therefore, we have to start with Nezikin, because Ledabar Nezikin V'amana Mehem Kugon Shor Bor Ma'aveh B'din HaChayvo V'ein Shoifet Roshet V'haktim Dover Kaidim Shiaser Hezik Nei Adam. First, you have to remove all of the dangers, and then we can discuss everything else. V'mneza Hikdem Oysa Rishon Al Shar Hadinim. So it sounds like from here that what is considered to be Kuh and Ezekiel Chad Masechta is Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. Like Rashi said in Avodah Zarah, a plus a Bavi. That's the way Taisus here seems to assume. That we're only talking about Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. That's Kuh and Ezekiel Chad Masechta. Taisus says, but there must be an order beyond these three. How do you know? Shavuos and Makkos. But that's not Kuh and Ezekiel Chad Masechta. However, Rabbi Isai, there is a Rimigash. It says otherwise. Look over here, Ois Beis. And that Gemara in Masechta Shavuos. That asks, why is it that Shavuos follows Makkos? So the Rimi Gash writes, in Tishol, V'kaimon ein seder l'mishnah, betray Masechti. He asks the same question our Tosfos asks. Why does the Gemara ask, why does Shavuos follow Makkos? There's no order over here. V'im kein mai kashule. What's the question? Nonetheless, says the Rimi Gash, maybe you're right, maybe it's a bad question. He says, you're right, maybe it's a bad question, but we have a good teretz. So why not say the good teretz? Okay. So since we knew a good reason, we asked the question, even though the question isn't that legitimate. Why is it that Shavuos follows Makkos? Because maybe there is no reason, but the Gemara saw a connection between Makif and Ikaf and Shavuos Shtayim, Shein Arba, so okay. We saw a connection, we wanted to say our connection. Well, having the diacritic, so the question was more of a hechatimsa. Many times you have a drasha like that. People, homiletically, we ask a question, you know, the question isn't really a question, but they want to say the terrets, you know, why is this, what's the significance of their name and this family, and something along those lines. So rabbis will use this as a tool sometimes, to have a good terrets without a good kasha. And that's what the Rimi Gash seems to be saying. But then he says, The Chiyaminan ain't say the Lamishna Hani Milu Inin Akdume Bachuri Kedaminan Hasam. Amad the Kamilan Stam, the Akak Makoikas ain't Halacha Kestam, the Inin Makoikas Vakak Stam. He says, you're right. With regards to Stam, the Akak Makoikas between two Mesephthas, there isn't necessarily, you know, a hard and fast order to the way that the prices are listed. And you can't necessarily infer that just because there was a Makoikas and then a Stam that we pass like the Stam from one Mesephthah to the next, within one Mesephthah, yes, but from one Mesephthah, you know, to the next, not necessarily. No, he says the same answer our Taisa says. With regards to the general, you know, flow of the themes and topics, maybe there is a connection. So that's why the Gemara asks, why is it that Shavuos comes next to Makkos? So then he gives, so his first teretz is not like our Taisa. His first teretz is, maybe the Gemara was just asking the question because we had a good answer. Then he says Tyson's answer, even though with regards to Machlekes, Achak Stam, Stam Yachak Machlekes, you can't necessarily infer anything from one Masech to the next with regards to the order. In general, Begadol, there are, you know, there is a sequence over here to the themes. Then he throws in a third teretz. Inami, Yishlomar, Dahid Aminan Hasim Rabbi Yosef, Kuhn is Seder Nizikin, Chadam Esechli, Lava Klas Bavi Bilachud. Maybe it's not only talking about Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, Ela Kua Seder Nizikin. All of Nezikin, the Havilei, Makas, Vishvuas, Bechlau. Maybe everything is Kua, Nezikin, Chadim, Sechti, Shvuas, and Makas too. Now, that's the way the Rimi Gash ends, if you have a classical Rimi Gash. There was a new Rimi Gash that was printed from Ksavyad, and he adds the words, Vizeh Hatam Ha'akron, Sarach Iyonu Bedika. This, they claim this was found in the original Ksavyad, the Rimi Gash. This last assertion, that Kuh and Nezikin, Chad Masechti, refers not only to Bava Kambo and Mesiv Bava Basa, all of Seder Nezikin, that requires some explanation. I agree. Why does it require some explanation? You know, what's the explanation over here? Bava Kambo and Mesiv Bava Basa, their very names imply, what does a Bava mean, by the way? Tosis Yomtov there writes, it means a door. Because we can't understand Torah without the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli is our door. Bava means a door. So it's a door into Seder Nezikin, the first door, the second door, the third door, like the first shahr. Some svarim are organized based on, you know, a shahr, shahr aleph, shahr beis, shahr gimel. That's bava kama, bava metziah, bava basra. The very name implies that they're related to one another. Fine, kuh nezikin, chad masechti. So Rabbi Gashia says, no, all of Seder Nezikin, shvuas, makas, sanhedrin, avos, the entire thing, kuh nezikin, chad masechti. Why? Why should it all be considered one Masechta? Does require explanation. So it seems to me the following suggestion. You can take it or leave it. But I think it's correct. But I also think it has far-reaching implications. And that is because Nezikin, by and large, as was mentioned this morning by different speakers, Seder Nezikin really, not only Perek HaShutfim about Basra, but all of Seder Nezikin really deals with mitzvahs that are ben adam lechaveroi. The rest of Shas really primarily mitzvahs that are ben adam lemakom. Obviously, zroim, moed, you know, nashim, kachim and tara, some more obvious than others, and there are ben adam lechaveros for sure mixed in, you know, to those discussions too. But Seder Nezikin is really, you know, the ben adam lechavero section of, you know, of Shas. And when it comes to ben adam lechaveros, that might be very different than a Bein Adam Lamakon. Minyan of the Yoyma. Just look over here. The Gemara says in the Sefer Yom, we're familiar with this. The Yom HaKippurim is Mechaper, you know, for all kinds of Averis. Zarakhtu Chamayim Tahirmu Tahartem, right? We get a Tahar on Yom HaKippurim. However, the Mishnah lays down the principle that we're all familiar with, that Yom HaKippurim can be Mechaper for Bein Adam Lamakon, but not for Bein Adam Lachavero. In order to achieve a Kapar for Bein Adam Lachavero, you have to ask your friend for Mechila. Aver shben adam lamakom yom kippur mechaper. Aver shben adam lechaveroi, ein yom kippur mechaper. So yom kippur is not mechaper for ben adam lechavero. Why not? Your friend has to give you mechila, which implies that ben adam lechaveros are really an obligation to your friend. Who holds the keys to my salvation if I sinned ben adam lechavero? My friend. He has to, you know, forgive me. If he doesn't forgive me, I can't achieve a kapara. So I really, Bein Adam Lechaveros, they're not an obligation so much to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, religiously, they're an obligation to my friend. That's really the obligation, Bein Adam Lechaveros. That's why he holds the keys to Mechila. What happens if I ask Mechila three times, though, and he doesn't forgive me? The Gemara there says, what do? You ask for mechila three times. What if he doesn't forgive me after three times? So the Prichadish is a famous diuk. After three times, that's it. You don't have to try anymore, right? We all know this halacha. Right? They do this in elementary school. They go over three times right after, right? And, you forgive me? No. You forgive me? No. You forgive me? No. Ah, now it's on. Yeah. That's your fault. If you have to go to the right yeshivas to learn the right shtick. But you have to ask three times. What happens after I ask three times? You're done. In fact, the Prichadish has a diuk. In the language of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Ad shiratzeh chaveroi, doesn't say, Ad shiyisratzeh chaveroi. Now, the difference in implication is, Ad shiratzeh chaveroi means until I appease my friend, not until he is appeased. So I attempted to be maratzeh. If he's not nisratzeh, I'm done. I did my obligation. How could that be? I thought he holds the keys to my salvation. I thought my obligation is to him. If he's not merkel me, you know, I'm eternally damned. I have to get kapara from him. If not, so then how could it be? If I asked three times, Shain Genug, I was Yoitze Zayin, as we say, right? I was Yoitze. I did. How could that be? I thought the obligation is to my friend. So I'll tell you. It is to your friend. It is. But what happens after you ask three times and he doesn't forgive you, something else happens. You get a mechila, not because I sidestepped my friend, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, who says kind of like, you were Yoitze, you did whatever you have to. We're good. I'll take care of it. You know, I lie. It's on my cheshbon. No. Look at the Rambam. Rambam says, I'm sorry I didn't give it to you. But the Rambam says in Perek Beis of Hilchos Teshuvah Halacha Tes. Listen carefully. He says, Loi rotza chaver olim kolo. What if I ask three times and my friend doesn't want to forgive me? Maybe we'll shura shoshlesha b'nei adam mireyev upoigim bo mavash mimenu. Ask him for mechila three times. Loi nisratza lehen. Maybe we'll, you do it. You bring a group. Ask Mechila, he doesn't want to forgive you. You do it a second time. You do it a third time. It's enough. You're done. Leave and go away. The guy who didn't forgive you, he is now the sinner. So I think what the Rambam here is telling us is something quite profound. Benodim Machavero is it takes two to tango. Right, you can't have a machlekes benodim chavero unless you have two parties to the machlekes. One can always be the bigger guy, right, and just say, "Nah, forget about it; it's no problem." But in order to have a problem, you know, a disturbance, you know, kind of, an issue that has to be resolved, you have to have two parties that are one who's, you know, perhaps the aggressor, one who's the aggrieved. But either way, you have, you know, two parties over here that aren't getting along, and I have to do my part if I was the one who precipitated that to alleviate the tension, the situation. But what the Rambam here is telling us is that this disturbance, this problem, this issue that was created is on the person who was the aggressor. The aggrieved is the victim. But at a certain point, if I ask three times, that same tension, that same disturbance, that same sinasino, if you want to call it, still exists, but now I'm not the aggressor. Now he's the aggressor. So yes, there has been no mechila that is achieved. But the aveira, the responsibility, has been transferred from the aggressor to the victim. The victim is now the aggressor, because who is so aggressive and won't be Michael, his friend? So the Avera hasn't been alleviated. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not intervene Bein Adam L'Chaveros. That is between a man and his friend. However, if I ask three times, I'm Yoitze, I'm done, I'm over, I'm good, why? Not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in and washes it away. Because now the Avera has been transferred to the victim. Now he's the aggressor, and now he has the responsibility to ask me Mechila. But fundamentally, Beinav l'chaveros are between a man and his friend. The Kodesh Baruch Hu does not intervene. It's an obligation that we have to each other. You hear? That's why he has to be Merkel. And if he's not Merkel me, now he has to ask me for Mechila. Because now, who hachayte? He's the one who's the sinner. Which sin? The original sin of these two people not getting along. Now he's causing the reason, you know, the rift, and not me. Oh. You hear my voice? It's not that Kodesh Baruch Hu steps in and wipes it away. Oh. It's getting back. Beinav l'chaveros are between me and someone else. You see like that from a famous tshuva of the Rajba. The Rajba asks, why is it that there are some mitzvahs that we make a bracha, some mitzvahs we don't have a bracha? One of the mitzvahs, you don't have a bracha. And this is a large discussion in Kol HaTorah Kula. But there are, you know, primarily, you know, or Bein Adam L'Chaveros, you know, have no bracha. So Rajba asks, why not? It's not a mitzvah to give tzedakah. Sure. Tzedakah tatzal mimavet. It's tshuva tzilat tzedakah. Ma'avir nezraya gzera. It's a big Indian to give tzedakah. So why is there no bracha on it? So the Rashba gives his classic terrors. He says, "Sha'al to levar lecha, our eze mitzvah mevarchim asiyot, our eze ein mevarchim kagon tzedak v'shak milus chasadim. Why is there no bracha on tzedak and milus chasad?" says, "Da ki kol mitzvah sheyefshel b'gmar siyosa yosus beinado beinatzma." Any mitzvah that you are not in control of in terms of its action and its result, you need someone else's participation. Ein mevarchen alei. Any mitzvah that you have to do as a team, there's no bracha. Why? Anyone who's worked with a team, as I don't like group projects, I know they're quite popular now. You always have to be afraid the other guy's going to drop the baton. Right? If you were watching over the summer, you know what I'm talking about. The guy dropped the baton. It's a problem. So you always have to be nervous. So too in halacha, we're nervous. I'm afraid I'm going to do my part. The guy's not going to accept the tzedakah from me, and therefore I'll be left, you know, dangling. I won't have any mitzvah to speak of. And now, not only that, will be worse, because now I have a bracha levatol on my cheshbon, because I made a bracha before I gave you the tzedakah. So whenever you have a mitzvah that depends on a team, teamwork, partnership, no bracha. I'm afraid the other guy's going to drop the baton. He won't accept the tzedakah from me. But you see from this, that tzedakah doesn't depend on my intentions. Doesn't depend on how much I say before. In order for a person to fulfill the mitzvah, tzedakah, my friend, has to accept the money from me. It's between me and him. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not get involved in this area. Because if he doesn't accept the tzedakah, I could have had the best of intentions. Doesn't matter. I fulfill absolutely nothing. And I'm left with a bracha levatola, no matter how big the check was or how pure my intentions might have been. By the same token, by the way, let's say I give tzedakah and I had no intention. I didn't intend to give tzedakah. A guy drops a dollar and an ani finds it. Karen Eshvius picks it up. So are you yoytze the mitzvah of tzedakah or not? We would have said, if you weren't familiar with this following Sifrei, you probably would have said no. You're not aware of it, right? What mitzvah is there? But the Sifrei says just the opposite. Sifrei says that if a person is walking, a guy loses money, falls out of his pocket, and ani finds it. V'ha'af from his parnisba, he uses it to sustain himself. Ma'avakasav kigul zacha. How do you know that it's considered to be as if he fulfilled the mitzvah tzedakah? And Gemara quotes a pasuk, and Sifrei quotes a pasuk. So you see, you do fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah when an ani finds the money that you lost. And again, what do you see from this? Tzedakah depends on results. Tzedakah depends on what I did for someone else. It does not depend on intentions. What I wanted to do. In halacha, in terms of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, intentions, play a critical role. All right, look over here, Ois Yud, on the sheet, the Gemara and Kiddushin, we're familiar with. Gemara says, I know a person who intends to do a mitzvah and is prevented from doing so by circumstances beyond his control. Kadosh Baruch Hu is metzar for lemaisa. Kadosh Baruch Hu considers as if you did it. Gemara quotes from the pasuk of Ulochayish Veshemo. Zikaron lefan of Uirei Hashem, Ulochayish Veshemo. From here we derive, Chashav Adam Lasso, Mitzvah, Venenas, Uaso, Malvakas, Kiwaso. Person wants to daven Mincha, he's on Hatzalah, he gets called away. It's as if he daven Mincha. Whether he has to daven Tvios Tashum in a discussion for another time, but it's considered to be as if he did it. I wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, I wasn't able to. Malvakas of Kiwaso, COVID, whatever, Malvakas of Kiwaso. When it comes to Bein Adam Chaveros, it doesn't seem that we say that. Bein Adam Chaveros depends on results. You lost the money, and an ani picked it up, you're yaitze tzedakah. I had the best of intentions, and I made a bracha before giving the tzedakah, and the ani doesn't accept it. No tzedakah. It depends not on intentions, it depends on results. And you see like that, Rabbi, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Parashas Vayigash. Right? What happens after the brothers? Yosef reveals himself to his brothers. They feel guilty, right? They start realizing that maybe over here they made a mistake in their estimation of Yosef and his prospects. So they're nervous. Yosef is going to take revenge. So they say to Yosef, your father told us you should forgive us. Whole story. Yosef responds. This is Parshat Vayechi. Yosef responds. Atem chasha atem alay ro. Look how this worked out. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was behind this and intended, for good, even though you clearly intended to do harm. So Rechaim HaKadosh writes, I intend to poison you, but I am, I am incapable of doing it because I'm a nib. And instead, I give you a fresh, cold cup of soda on a refreshing day. So, do I have any kapara that I need to do? No. She'en v'schayv v'klum, rein petum v'zakom gam medin ha'shamayim. V'chayim HaKadosh says, Yosef said to the brother, tem chashem tem alay roh, and v'kim chashem alay teiva, you wanted to do me harm, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that it worked out, we're good. You wanted to kill me, didn't happen, I have no hard feelings against you. What? That's what Yosef says to his brothers. So Chaim HaKadosh says, implies, because when it comes to Bein Adam HaChavero, what does it depend on? Results, not intentions. Because it's between me and my friend, not between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Me and the Ribbono Shel Olam is about intentions. We understand, we live in a world where things are beyond our control. If it's beyond my control, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, understands. But by the same token, by the way, also, right, just, you know, the flip side of that would be, let's say I attempt to do an Avera, and I am, you know, uncoordinated, and fail to do it. Or I'm just, you know, a loser, and I lose at everything. I can't even do Averis right, right? A guy wants to eat treif meat, so he says, forget it, he's angry at Hashem, he stops to buy treif meat, then he looks on and says, oh, you. Oh, my luck, right? He's waging rebellion against Hashem. So Gemara says in Masechtas Nazir, person who does that needs kapara. Niskaven over here, oisches. Niskaven lecho b'sar chazir. V'yolta v'yodo b'sar tleh. You intended to eat pork. Instead, it was faking. V'yolta v'yodo b'sar, I think that's vegetarian. But v'yolta v'yodo b'sar tleh. He ended up eating, you know, an impossible burger instead. Fine. He didn't do the aver, but he does need kapara. Over here, the last line of oisches. Niskaven lalos v'yodo b'sar chazir. V'yolta v'yodo b'sar Tled, should say, requires sicha v'kapara. I'm sorry, there's a mistake. Oh no, in the second line of voice says, Ma mishin is having lalos beyond b'sar chazir, or beyond b'sar tled, ton sicha v'kapara. Requires kapara. So you see, when it comes to ben adam b'makom, intentions play a great role. You intend to do an avera, but you're a loser, and you didn't do it, you need kapara. You didn't intend to do an avera, and something happened. Okay, you're a shoygeg. You want to do a mitzvah, and circumstances beyond your control. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Metzav Machshav Tov L'Maaseh. This does not apply in Bein Adam L'Chaveros. None of this. It depends on results. What happened? Intentions play no role at all, yeah?
Even if you were to get scammed by an
Ani? Oh, very good. So this Maisim B'chol, Yoim Mamish, depending on which community you live in, how many people knock on your door. But the Gemara says, Masechtas Bava Kamma, over here, Ois Tes. I used to live across the street from I'm not a wealthy guy, but I used to live across the street from an executive in a company you all know about. And it was a COO. I was like, dude, like, it's not fair. Like, the guy was such a nadiv. He was great. He was giving so much stuck up. I'm like, they thought if I lived next to this guy, we must be in business together or something. Anyway, so Gemara says in Bava Kamma, he did me the great schutz. So a lot of people knocking on my door. But the Gemara quotes over here that based on a pasuk, that if a person gives tzedakah to people who are einam mehuganim, unbeknownst to me, they look like anoshim mehuganim, they look like legitimate aniyim, but they're not. How do I know that you don't get reward? Gemara quotes a pasuk. But you see, you do not get reward if you give tzedakah to people who are einam mehuganim. Gemara there is talking about the pasuk said that he was davening that they should be nachshilim b'bnei adam she'en muganim. Even when they do mitzvahs, make it that they don't get the mitzvah because the aniyim that they're giving to are not legitimate aniyim. But the Gemara clearly implies.
Would be, could that be like a poor person like faking as a rich person or not?
So I happen to believe if a guy's asking me for food, he's a poor guy. Now, did he? And if you, I heavily involved in tzedakah with the shul, Baruch Hashem, I still do a lot of tzedakah. If you look too much into any situation, I always tell Chevra. Because we want to, you know, vet who we're giving to. I'll ask questions after. Right now, the guy's asking, he clearly is in need. The guy's asking, now, did he make missteps along the way? Poor judgment? Yes. That's probably how we ended up in this situation. Will he continue to make poor judgments and squander the money that we give him? Oftentimes, yes, that's what happens. But that's unfortunate that there's nothing we can do about that. But we have an obligation to get stuck in nonetheless. So when I say, a guy's coming, he's asking for food. Now, did he put himself in that situation? Maybe. You know, okay, is that anashim she'enim huganim? No. The guy clearly needs money. What I'm talking about anashim she'enim huganim is the guy doesn't need the tzedakah at all. Or he misrepresents what the tzedakah is all about. You know, a lot of people now are giving money they think is going to the farmers. It's not going to the farmers. It's going to a guy who's running a business selling portions in Eretz Yisrael based on the assumption that if you own Dalat Amos in Eretz Yisrael, you're yoytzei the mitzvah of Shemitah. if I don't work the land during. So many people think that the money that they're giving to Keren HaShviyus or whatever is going to helping the farmers. It's not going to helping the farmers. It's going to this guy who's running a business selling lots in Eretz Yisrael to make people believe that they're fulfilling Shemitah. Now, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. It's debatable. They're certainly not. Even if you're fulfilling the mitzvah Shviyas, you're not supporting poor farmers who, you know, are, you know, Giborei Koach, you know. That's not who you're supporting. So he's misrepresenting. So if the people are doing it, if they're telling you what it is and you don't read the small print, that's on you. But if they're misrepresenting who it is, yeah, that's wrong. Now, is every collector who takes a little bit off the top, no, I hate to break it to you, but that's how collectors work. Most people who come around collecting take a salary for themselves. And anyone who doesn't know that doesn't know the industry of tzedakah. That's how tzedakah works. That's not anashim she'enim hugamim. But someone who misrepresents what the organization does, yeah, that's or goes to my foundation, which goes to pay my relatives. You know, that's how foundations work too. So then that's anashim she'enim hugamim. Now, if you give to anashim she'enim hugamim, you don't get the mitzvah tzedakah. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in the Kovetz Ha'aretz, I think it was on the Marma Kaimis. That you see from here, ben other mechaveros depend on results. Did it reach the end of the ani? Did it not reach the end of the ani? If it did, then there's tzedakah. If it didn't, then there's no tzedakah. And by the same token, right? If I didn't intend to give and it fell out of my pocket, reached the end of the ani, you aren't fulfilled. Because ben other mechaveros is an obligation to my friend. Nothing to do with the rebbeinu. It has to do with the rebbeinu shalom, but as we'll see. But that's not the operating, you know, principle of ben other mechaveros. What the operating principle is an obligation. To my friend. That's why I can't make a bracha, because I'm afraid he might not accept the tzedakah. You know, it's all obligation. That's why I can't receive kapara, unless he is my chomei. It's an obligation to my friend. My friend doesn't care about what my intentions are. Rabbi said, let's say, it's supposed to be Masada Kiddushin, the guy's wedding. And I say, I got a flat tire on my way there. I thought, sorry, I wasn't able to make it. Sorry, he might understand. But that's not what he needed. He needed someone to show up and run the wedding, right? So a guy said, oh, I meant to give you tzedakah. Sorry about that. Well, I guess so, right? I was an oinus. You know, these kinds of principles don't really apply. They don't really have the same meaning, you know, unless we assume intentions are what's the driving force of these mitzvahs. And the Beinan Lechaveros, the driving force is not intentions. It's results. There's no such thing. Let's say that's why you don't have such a thing as, and you know, in halacha with regards to esrog, it's coming up, or sukkah. We have a principle called vazvezayyavazvezayyosimichaimish. When you're figuring out how much money to pay for these mitzvahs, you don't have to give up more than a fifth of your total worth in order to fulfill the mitzvah of esrog or sukkah. Hamavazvezayyavazvezayyosimichaimish. What about ben adam chavero? Do we say hamavazvezayyavazvezayyosimichaimish? Many achronim assume no. That's between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, if it's going to cost this much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll consider it. If you did it, don't spend any more money. When it comes to Ben Olam HaKadosh, it doesn't depend on that. It depends on what Lamaisa, what reached me, what reached my friend, not on intentions. And therefore, these kinds of rules don't really apply. So now let's get back. So it seems to me, if this assumption is correct, I believe it is, that Ben Olam HaKadosh depend on the results that reach my friend, not necessarily on intention. Right. We wouldn't say oisik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah when it comes to, you know, sometimes. Well, the same rules, oisik b'mitzvah maybe, yeah, tzedakah we do fine, but we don't, the same rules don't necessarily apply to b'don adam chaveros as they do to b'don adam makom. Because b'don adam chaveros is an obligation to my friend. So now just getting back. Look over here. This perhaps teaches us why ku and azik and chad mesefti. Look at the Gemara Mesefti Baba Kama. Turn the page, Oisir Aleph. And Mu'ar quotes the name of Yehuda. Ha'iman debar l'mehave chasida. A person wants to be a chassid. What should he learn? A real chassid. Should learn Kedushas Levi, you'll say. No. L'kai mili din ezikin. He's talking about a real chassid. A person who's very careful about halacha. L'kai mili din ezikin. He should be careful to be l'kai mili din ezikin. Rava amar mili di avas. Mili din ezikin. Rava says avas. What's the machlekes here? Machlekes. This is machlekes about how do you become a chassid. Rava says avos. Rav Yehuda says miyud din ezikin. What's going on over here? So the Rabbi Yosef Engel explains in the Goyani Ashas the following: Nezikin means like not harming you. Avos, everything is a mesechta avos. Right? Bar Tanua writes at the beginning of Masechet Sava that these are also halachas, but they're like meta halachas. Right? That's why we don't find them categorized in the Shulchan Aruch codified, because they're like beyond. Like it's the things that go beyond. The fifth chayot of Shulchan Aruch is Masechet Sava, but that's also halacha too. So Rabbi Svengel explains the machlekes is, can you be a chassid if I'm just careful about one thing, like nizikin, then I'm a chassid? Or maybe it goes beyond that. You can only be a chassid if you're careful about everything. You know, that relates to this general topic. Look over here, Rabbi Svengel writes in Gulyani HaShas and said, Hezhinu Pukhtasam, Igami Pas Chassidus Befrat Ekrad Mikri Chassid. Can you be a chassid if you're only careful about one thing? Oh boy, the Bilahavi chassid, the Cholmiu de Chassidusa. The Ovis Kolo Cholmiu de Chassidusa. Ovis is the last Mesechta in Nezikin. Means all of Hilchas Nezikin. Not just Bava Kama, Bava Basra, Bava Metzia. You know, that's Nezikin, as we've said so far, according to some Rishonim. Ovis means everything. From beginning to the end of Seder Nezikin. You got to be careful on everything in order to be a chassid. That's Machlokes. Can I be careful about Hilchas Ribis and be called a chassid? Or maybe, in order to be called a chassid, you got to be careful on all Beinam Machabera. I think that with the opinion that in order to be a chassid, you have to be careful in all Bein Adam Mechaveros is really telling us, is that if you're careful about one aspect of Bein Adam Mechavero, it almost doesn't matter if you're not careful about every aspect of Bein Adam Mechavero. Now, this doesn't mean that one mitzvah is not important, even if you don't keep other mitzvahs. If a person keeps one mitzvah, that's always significant. Chavi, you got to know this. This is a Rambam, and that Mishnah we say every time that they finish a shiur in shul, Kaddish Baruch Hu, no one ever thinks about it though. Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to do was a great taiva. So what did he do? He gave us more mitzvahs. The rabbi that we shine him asked, well, Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted to do me a taiva, make less rules, less bureaucracy, less red tape, what more rules? What's with the more rules? So Rashi says, a pashup shot. Rashi says, no, because many of the rules are obvious, we would have done it anyway. Who's eating bugs? You guys have a taiva to eat bugs? No. But now, oh, you want to drink blood? Blood, they make blood sausage in Western Europe. It's a popular thing. And there are many cultures that do eat bugs. But most of us don't have a taiva for these things. And of course, welcome now, because he gave us so many mitzvahs, we get reward for not eating bugs. Look, what a religion. We get rewards for not eating bugs. Gevaldik. That's how Rashi learns the Mishnah. The Rambam learns the Mishnah, no. The Rambam says no. In order to get Olam Haba, says the Rambam, all you have to do is one mitzvah b'shleimusa. That's it. You got to keep all the mitzvahs. But if you say, and all you have to do is one mitzvah b'shleimusa. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rasul Zachas Yisrael, he gave us so many choices. Pick from one of these. You know, a plethora of mitzvahs, the entire range and spectrum. Pick one and do it well. Olam Haba. How easy? If Kadosh Baruch Hu only gave us 10, Aseres HaDibros, we'd be limited. Now you can pick, look how many options you have in the smorgasbord of mitzvahs. You get into Olam Haba. So look over here, says the Rambam. So that's what Kosh Baruch Hu did by giving us so many mitzvahs. That's the meaning. We don't know the pasuk. Parash Vayishav. Yaakov Avinu was afraid of Esav. Either I'll kill him or he'll kill me. Why was he afraid that Esav was going to kill him? He was Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Ha'avis. Esav was Esav, right? Enough said. Why was he afraid of Esav? Medrash says, because Esav had one mitzvah. He had the mitzvah, kibud av v'aim. If all you have is one mitzvah, you never know. You could be zeichet. Olam Haba. Rav Shachter likes to quote the story from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. I don't know. Maybe he printed it. I don't know. I think it's in the Sefer Achol Mosayach Yerushalayim. They quote there that Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said, I think he was discussing, I didn't say this, but he was discussing Ben Yehuda. He said to his chassidim, don't think Ben Yehuda doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. He did tremendous things for the, you know, Rabbah, I don't know, reviving Hebrew language, maybe helping the Medina. So he said, even if he wasn't Shomer Torah mitzvahs in other areas, but he had this one great schus, that alone could be zeichet to Olam Haba. Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was not from the moderate, from the moderate Jews. He was an extremist. But Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld said already about the, you never know. One mitzvah is a ticket to Olam Haba if you do a Bishlei Musa. So I'm not machling avek one mitzvah, Rabbi said. One mitzvah is great. But in Bein Adam, that's Bein Adam HaMakom. Bein Adam HaChaveroi, one mitzvah without everything that goes along with it kind of loses its meaning. Just to you understand what I'm telling you, look over here what we're trying to say. Look over here at the tour. Look, I see David. Torah says a person gives tzedakah and he spits at his friend as he gives the tzedakah. He gets the mitzvah tzedakah or not? No. Torah says, Kashe yenena yiten oisa b'sever panim yofis b'simcha b'tuv leivav. And if you give it with a frown, a scowl, or something nasty to say, he loses the mitzvah. You lose the mitzvah. Why do I lose the mitzvah? I gave you tzedakah. Let's say, Rabbi said, a person takes lulav, and he's frowning and he's scowling as he's taking lulav, and he's upset that he's doing it. You get the mitzvah of lulav. A guy's upset that he's at the Seder with whatever. He'd rather be somewhere else. He eats the matzah despite it. Doesn't eat the matzah shaloi kavana latzeis, and then he wouldn't be yotzei, but he eats the matzah, is upset about it. You still get the mitzvah matzah? Of course. Pashit. I'm a ratzis to suggest otherwise. But in tzedakah, it's not the case. In order to get the mitzvah tzedakah, you have to be happy to do it. I have to make my friend feel good as I'm doing it. Why? I gave you the money. Leave me alone. Why? Because the answer is, Rabbi said, ben am chaveras are about what I did for my friend. If in the end of the day, I made him feel bad, even though I was mechazik by giving the money, it undermines the gift that I gave him. They're all related. It's a network. They don't exist independently. It's about the bottom line aggregate that my friend received, you know, in terms of our relationship. And if it's a net positive, you're yotzei. If it's a net negative, you're not yotzei. It's about what he received, and they all are related to one another. They're all independent of one another. So if I am careful about ribbis, but I'm flashing your tires at the same time, that ribbis doesn't mean, you know, too much. Or, you know, if I'm, you know, delivering Temchei Shabbos and I spit in the food, it really doesn't do too much. Because it's a net, could be a net positive, could be a net negative. And if it's a net negative, then I really didn't do a teiva to my friend. It's not the same as other mitzvahs. Beinam and chaveras are entirely different. It depends on bottom line results that my friend received. And if it's in a negative, you lose. So everything is related. That's why when you want to be a chassid, it has to be mi'u da'ovis. Not just I'm careful about harchokas nezikin. My drain spout doesn't run onto you. No. It goes way beyond that. Everything is related. So just getting back, perhaps that's why kula nezikin chada mesefti. We asked, what is kula moyed chada mesefti? Is kula Zeroyim, Chada Masechti, Kula Kachim, Kula Taharis? No. So many Rishonim said, no, here in Ezekiel 2, it's Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, as the name implies. There are three doors, three Sha'orois to the same discussion. But Rebbe Gash said, no, maybe it's all of Seder and Ezekiel is related. Why? Why should all of Seder and Ezekiel be related? Perhaps it's because Bein Adam Chaveru is about what I did for, Ezekiel is basically Bein Adam Chaveru, it's about what I did to my friend, and everything impacts, whether it's a net positive or a net negative. And if at the end of the day, it's a net negative, even though I did do some positive things, it's all discounted. It's all, you know, it loses its credibility because of the negatives that came along with it. So basically, maybe that's why Kuhn, Ezekiel, and Chalim is healthy. Tomorrow we're going to have Shir a little bit earlier, like 11-ish. Maybe we'll do 11. We'll pick up with this discussion. We have to figure out why Ben Adam Chavero is phrased this way. I made a big assertion. We have to figure out why should that be so? What is that telling us about Ben Noam Mechaveros in general? And then Rabbi Samyistram, we're going to go on to the next places, Divin Mas and Bigvil, about Minig Medina. Fascinating discussion. It's Nogea Lamaisa today, about Minig Medina. How much does Minig Medina play into Dina Torah, those kind of things? All right, Chevra, wish you much Hatzlacha and all the...